Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Tuesday, January 21st, 2014, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. And here's to everyone who turned out yesterday to recognize Dr. Martin Luther King Day. There were programs all across the city, and many people got together to do volunteer work. More on that later. First, the headlines. A federal judge has stepped into the middle of Oregon's wild versus hatchery fish issue. What has happened now is that federal officials have been ordered to do more to ensure hatchery fish planned for release this year don't harm wild fish on the Sandy River. This is a key tributary, and if we don't protect this, then I don't see very much hope for the rest of the system. Yesterday, Senator Ron Wyden said that pending the Trans-Pacific Partnership Trade Agreement, and supporting the Trans-Pacific Partnership Trade Agreement could be a boon to Oregon, but only if several serious issues are overcome. Ron, there have been umpteen million reports and analyses that have managed to make their way through the ethereal iron curtain of a media blackout on the Trans-Pacific Partnership. Many of us are painfully aware of what the passage of such an agreement could do to our lives. It's not, ironically, one wishes to say it's not a secret. In fact, it is a secret. They did everything in their powers to prevent the public, activists in particular, from knowing anything about this. All the negotiations have been conducted behind closed doors, and yet enough has leaked out to give us a taste of things to come. If Mr. Wyden has not managed to acquaint himself with some of the problems of this trade agreement, disastrous trade agreement, and it's far more than a trade agreement, far, far more. It's virtually the privatization of all labor and all natural resources on the planet. That's in a nutshell. That's what it means. The privatization of information, natural resources, virtually everything. And this, of course, coming on the heels of the vote on net neutrality, not good. We tried very hard to reach Ron Wyden. I have been calling the senator literally for months now. It's come to this, and we hope, though, to get his voice on the Air Cascadia KBOO airwaves in the very near future. Now, when Fast Track was introduced, there was a backlash for fast tracking the TPP. According to public reports, both angry Democrats, Representative Earl Blumenauer told the Huffington Post that he was extremely disappointed that something's dropped that was never discussed with Democrats in the House. Five members of the Senate Finance Committee, which is what Wyden is slotted to be heading up soon, told the U.S. Trade Representative Mike Froman that they won't support the Max Baucus fast-tracking of the Trans-Pacific Partnership because Congress needs to be involved throughout the process, not just in an up-and-down vote after it's completed. So we have Representative Earl Blumenauer questioning procedural points in this fast-tracking of the trade agreement that now Ron Wyden is beginning to see as a boon to Oregon. One word of advice, perhaps, to Senator Ron Wyden, a way of improving Oregon's trade future would be to outlaw genetically modified organisms and or label those which are nonetheless produced, so to speak, grandfathered in earlier. That would be one way of reassuring our trading partners in Europe and Asia that we mean business and that we seriously take their concerns into consideration. That said, Are they really just stupid or deeply venal? Yesterday, the Multnomah County Republican Party found itself issuing yet another apology, political apology, for entertaining the nation by sponsoring a gun raffle in honor of Dr. Martin Luther King and Abraham Lincoln. It boggles the mind. What did they expect? A roar of approval from the general population? Just exactly how white and racist did they think Cascadia is? And tomorrow, the deal goes before the city council for approval. Portland police commanding officers. There's a package of pay and other tidbits. The Portland police commanding officers would receive up to a 4% increases in their wages after working 1 to 2 years as supervisor positions. However, their longevity pay would be phased out under a tentative contract agreement that they hope to reach with the city. This, again, dealing with the police unions is always a tricky business. However, our current mayor, Charlie Hales, seems to have been able to establish lines of communication with the police. Whether that's a good or a bad thing will obviously be played out in the streets. And last December, caught in the southern region, now we go to international news momentarily. Last December, in the southern region of Krasnodar, Russia, where the Sochi Winter Olympics open next month, as the entire world knows, an environmental watch activist, Yevgeny Vitishko, was sentenced to 3 years in a penal colony. And when they say penal colony in Russia, they do mean that. That's not making license plates. That's that's work that often kills inmates. This is the response to activists who are concerned about the environmental destruction that has occurred in the regions around Sochi. Those who want to fire up their nimble fingers and go take a look at some of the pictures that are flitting about the internet are going to be shocked and horrified at what has happened to a formerly beautiful region of Russia. And a new government inquiry into a wave of sickness in Alberta, Canada, suggests, and I mean strongly suggests, that residents' illnesses, and there are many, may be linked to Canada's controversial oil sands development. In one of these oil sands development, there is a 7,300-acre ring of mercury. That's 7,300-acre ring of mercury surrounding one of these mining sites. And as the world knows, issues on Syria, Iran has been excluded. They're not happy about that. Why we keep poking them with sharp stick just when everything seemed to be going so well can only be traced back to the influence of AIPAC under the behest of the Netanyahu government. And local weather here for Cascadia, mostly sunny today. Highs near 50, east wind, slight. Tonight, very faint chance of rain or drizzle. Areas of fog, mostly cloudy, lows around 35. And for tomorrow, again, that slight chance of rain or drizzle persists. Otherwise, overcast, highs around 50 and calm winds. For tomorrow night, fog socked in, lows around 33, not much in the way of wind. The alternative forecast, we have a waning gibbous fruit moon in Leo, 20 days old. The synodic advice is now is a good time to sow root vegetables. Biodynamicists say with the moon in Leo, it's a far sign, it's a good time to sow fruiting plants. And the sidereal outlook moon in Virgo, dry and barren, good time for garden maintenance. Right, that's it for the alternative and the conventional forecasts. Now, as we do not at present have Senator Ron Wyden on the line, I've been trying for weeks, I dare say months at this point, we'll instead talk a little bit about exactly what what is being proposed here and what Senator Wyden actually has been induced to believe or has convinced himself. He does, however, seem to have a bit of an open mind about the whole thing. He'd like to have a little bit more transparency. Alas, Senator Wyden, though there is no transparency, there is still a great deal of information about exactly what impact the Trans-Pacific Partnership would have. I guess if you are heart set on betraying constituents, the Beaverton Public Library would be a good place, or at least as good a place as any. That's exactly where Senator Ron Wyden did reveal that, all in all, he rather liked the partnership. The only trouble was this little issue of not understanding the lack of transparency. Wyden is very likely going to end up one of Washington's most powerful figures on trade policies, we mentioned. And yesterday he said that the pending Trans-Pacific Partnership trade agreement could be a boon to Oregon. He was speaking about this at a town hall meeting, and he is expected, of course, to very soon take over the chairmanship of the Senate Finance Committee. He has a long record of supporting free trade agreements, and he's expressing concern not only about the secretive nature of the negotiations. Some of the remarks that he made are certainly cause for alarm. He said he wanted to make sure that he helped kill in the Senate because he felt that was harmful to internet freedom. Wyden's remarks in general reflected a deep lack of understanding agreement would do and the effects it would have on the lives, never mind trade, on the lives of people around the world. Portland police commanding officers would receive up to 4% increases in their wages after working 1 to 2 years. This is another thing that we need to look at. In the race to cut teachers' salaries, renegotiate their contracts. Again, it looks like the police are once again going to get absolutely everything that they wanted. Today, 10 a.m., Portland City Council, if anybody has a chance to get down there. And don't forget, the Public Eye Award is about to come out with the worst corporations in the world list, and you are very welcome to weigh in on that. You can find it at the Greenpeace website. There's a great deal more to talk about here. Doctors in Canada reluctant to link the oil sands with health from the Stephen Harper government to... refuse to recognize the impact of the tar sands mining. This has been Air Cascadia for Tuesday, January 21st, 2014. Janet Anderson engineered the show today. Thank you so much, Janet. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts, know your rights, take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
This is Law and Disorder.
Today on Law and Disorder, we'll be joined by Francis Golden, Debbie Smith, and our own Michael Stephen Smith, editors of the new book, Imagine, Living in a Socialist USA.
If you're worried about our future, and I'm sure you are, this book will give you hope and the belief that we can change our society. Read it.
Stay with us.
New York City attorney and author Michael Smith.
I'm Heidi Boghossian, Executive Director of the National Lawyers Guild.
And I'm Michael Ratner, President Emeritus of the Center for Constitutional Rights.
Heidi, in the past on our show, we've covered the dire situation of Russell Maroon Schoetz, the fact that he's been in solitary for, I think, now over 20 years. And there's some changes going on, we hope. Can you talk about that a little bit, Heidi? Maybe some, I won't say good news, but better news?
Well, relatively good news, Michael. And to remind listeners, we've had Russell's daughter, Teresa Schoetz, on our show, as well as Brett Grody, who is an advocate in the state of Pennsylvania for unjust conditions in confinement. And the good news is Brett has let us know that last week Russell was transferred from the state correctional institution Frackville, where Mumia Abu-Jamal is, to SCI Greaterford, which is in southeastern Pennsylvania. And that's what's called the Level 4. It's the highest level, maximum security prison. It currently holds slightly less than 4,000 inmates, the most in the entire Pennsylvania Department of Corrections. It also holds the most prisoners serving life without parole in Pennsylvania.
How can this be good news? I mean, you're telling a level 4 maximum security prison? I read that in the note you sent me. I was pretty shocked by that.
Well, let's look at the conditions under which Russell has been held. He's been in solitary confinement for over 2 decades. This is an older gentleman who many believe has been held in solitary because he had a political background, and many saw him as kind of an intellectual leader. No infractions. Many, many years ago, he did escape. 3 times he escaped. But he's otherwise been a model inmate and truly a lovely individual. And many of us have had the honor of meeting him and really quite a thinker and a gentle person. But anyway, back to the update. It's worth noting that Maroon has just completed what's called a step-down program at Frackville. He'd been transferred there from SCI Green, where he'd been also in solitary confinement. Lawyers from the Department of Corrections have told Maroon's legal counsel that prison officials intend to recommend, and this is the good news, his removal from the restricted release list to the Pennsylvania DOC Central Office. They've said that all prison officials involved in the decision-making process support Russell's release into general population at long last, and that he may be out of solitary confinement in approximately a month.